Mom, thank God you're gonna be okay.
So relieved. But you both should know when my time comes, I have a final expense policy with Senior Care USA.
If you're over 50, call Senior Care USA now to learn more about final expense insurance plans.
When I called, the quote was free, and there was no pressure. Oh, so glad you'll be taken care of.
Call 1-800-717-4179. That's 1-800-717-4179.
Be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
But I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celia.
Welcome back. Financial issues. All the indices still in positive territory. This is good kind of movement that we're seeing. It's the kind of movement I like to see. You know, we haven't seen any real dramatic moves. It wasn't dramatic. It wasn't a big move down. We haven't seen big moves up. We haven't seen any of that really in 2 weeks, 3 weeks maybe. I can't remember the last time we've seen any real dramatic moves. That's very healthy. It just gives a sense, maybe just to me, but gives a sense of stability in the markets, in the economy. It gives a sense of not a lot of worry, concern. Not concerned about any major events. A lot of it is the Fed is out of the picture. That's always a good thing. So, you know, we continue to see this, low volatility. The volatility index, for what it's worth, I never talk about this. I don't even know why I am. But, is sitting around 14. That's about where it's been all year. It hasn't moved. So then, why is it a volatility index? Because, yes, it's been at 14, but it hasn't been volatile. So, I mean, we're seeing stability in the volatility index. So if there's stability in a volatile index where it's hanging around 14, is there really volatility? I mean, when does 14 become a new normal or baseline for volatility? I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not asking a question. Typically, it doesn't make any sense. But nonetheless, all that being said, we don't have a whole lot of and I think that's good. The markets are down. That's okay. That's normal. But they're not down by much. And all of that is very good. And here's one of the reasons from my perspective. It's because of the FANG stocks. They got beat up. They got killed. And they haven't come back. And I hope they don't. I mean, we don't own any of those. They're not biblically responsible. But you know what? Good for that. It's killing the ETFs that have those in there, which is the vast majority of their holdings in these FANG stocks are coming from ETFs. So, I've never understood these ETFs that don't really have diversity. How does an ETF claim to have diversity when they've got the vast majority of their money in five positions? I mean, that's not diversity. But anyway, I'm going down a path I don't need to go down. Anyway, it's Rapid Fire Friday. We try to stick to calls. We've got the Ag Report coming up in a few minutes. As soon as that happens, we're going to go. Right now, they are saying, the headlines are saying that U.S.-China optimism is driving the markets higher. Now, I'm not sure what optimism. Here's the only thing that we got out of yesterday. So the Chinese delegation met with our delegation. It was considered to be high-level negotiations, not mid-level, but high-level negotiations. Remember, the vice premier was involved in these negotiations yesterday. That would be the equivalent of Mike Pence being involved in the negotiations with us. I mean, you know, so these are high-level negotiations. And when they left the meeting yesterday, the Chinese delegation had been pretty good about, you know, talking to the press, answering questions, given some sort of a tone as to the way things were. And they walked right on by the press yesterday. They never said a word. We said a little bit, I guess, to indicate to some reports coming out of Reuters and AP indicating that the sticking point is verification. So we talked yesterday about the six memorandum of understanding, the six of them that they are putting out. So we talked about that yesterday. And so one of those six memorandums of understanding included the theft of intellectual property. That was part of that on corporate intellectual property. Now, I won't go belabor what I said. I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem with it happening. It shouldn't happen. But my bigger problem is with corporate America, who is dumb enough to go over there and expose themselves to the theft of the intellectual property. And I'm not sure we should be policing the lack of business savvy that big corporations have when they go over there. And that's on them as far as I'm concerned. But nonetheless, we want to verify that. We want to verify that. So when we want to verify that, they don't want to be verified. They don't want to be held accountable. They don't like it. They'll agree to do it, but they don't want the verification part. And that seems to be the stumbling block. Okay, here comes our ag report. Craig Haggard going to wrap up the week with our ag commodities. We'll be right back.
This is Craig Haggard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. Well, the corn market bounced higher yesterday on the news that China may buy $30 million worth of U.S. agricultural products. Yesterday was also the first day of the USDA Outlook Forum, and they released an estimate that in 2019-20, America's farmers will plant 92 million acres of corn. Now, in spite of yesterday's friendly news, the March corn futures remain trapped in a 10-cent trading range. It'll be interesting to see if we can break out of that range in the near future. In the overnight trade, spot corn futures are trading 1 cent higher. The soybean market bounced higher yesterday, recovering from Wednesday's losses, as talk of China looking to possibly buy additional U.S. soybeans got traders excited. Prices garnered additional support from the USDA Outlook Forum, where they announced that they expect soybean acreage in the United States to be down 4 million acres less than last year. The Buenos Aires Grain Exchange is pegging the Argentinian soybean crop at 53 million metric tons of production. And the crop is looking pretty good as it's rated 87% good to excellent. So that may weigh on this market as we move forward. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures are trading up a penny. Yesterday saw the wheat market bounce off of Wednesday's lows on technical buying and strength in the corn and bean markets. The USDA's Ag Forum is estimating that this year all wheat acres in the United States will come in at 47 million acres planted. That compares to 47.8 million acres of wheat planted last year. From a world production perspective, the International Grains Council has pegged the 2018-19 world wheat production at 735 million metric tons, down 2 million from their previous estimate. In the overnight trade, Chicago is unchanged, Kansas City is a penny higher, and Minneapolis is up 2 cents. Cotton futures benefited from the Chinese optimism yesterday, with March futures closing up 191 points to settle at 72.19. In the overnight trade, spot cotton futures are trading up an additional 80 points. The livestock market was split yesterday. After getting beat hard for a couple of sessions, lean hog futures were stronger, while cattle futures lost ground. For the session, April lean hogs closed up $2.90.
Are living out New Testament Christianity. This idea that Samaritan has adopted from the book of Acts should permeate all parts of our lives, not just health sharing.
In November of 1620, the pilgrims came to America with the hope of building a civilization that would one day be a shining city on a hill. At the American Family Association, we believe that dream is still worth fighting for. We believe that marriage was instituted by God, that families are worth preserving, and that every human life is worth protecting. We are the American Family Association.
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Welcome back. Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It's great to be here. 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. Rapid Fire Friday. We have a line open. You can queue your call up. 844-707-5533. We also, you can queue your question up on Facebook, and we'll try to get to those and keep things short and brief on that as well. Let me go to Facebook real quick. Kathy is saying, what a wonderful morning. What an amazing God. Amen. I'm ready to hear about finances from a biblical point of view, Dan. She's just giving me a word of encouragement. Got my coffee, breakfast. God bless you. Thank you, Kathy. I like that. That's nice. Thank you. Nathan is saying, what are your thoughts on Northern Lights Inspire ETFs? Like biblical, 35 years old, just getting started, not looking. I don't know, Nathan. I don't know that Northern Lights. I don't know. I'll have to get back. I'll have to get right back on you on that. But I'm not certain. I have to look at it. Janie is asking, my Roth IRA account is at a bank. Should I move that money into CDs? I'm 72 years old, planning on using this money after I retire. The account has only $10,000. You know what, Janie, I would move at least half of it. You might as well, you know, move half of it into a two-year CD, get maybe 2.25% or so, get something a little bit better, you know, with the notion that, well, the other half I might not need to start using, but even if you start using the other half, you'll still have, you know, some leeway there to get you until that two-year CD expires. Yeah, I would definitely do some of it into a two-year CD and get whatever you can for it. I think that makes sense. So, yeah, I would do that. Let me go to the phones. Let me go to Moses. Moses calling us from Texas. Hey, Moses.
Hey, good morning, Dan. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to weigh in. I listened to your show every day. I'm usually on the road. I'm a church. But I heard that guy calling from Texas about them freezing his account. The Attorney General's office can do that anytime you have money in the bank, anytime. The only way he can unfreeze that money is if he hires a lawyer. Anytime they have you got arrears on child support, and I'm speaking from experience, yeah, they can do that.
Okay, so is that so? Even though they had an agreement, a payment agreement, it doesn't matter, Moses?
No, it doesn't matter because even though you're making payments, you still got arrears. So those arrears need to be paid. So if you got those issues, then that's not going to stop them from taking that money.
Oh well, how about it? How about it?
And you have to hire an attorney in order to unfreeze it, and that attorney will negotiate for you a certain amount that they can take. You know, you have to agree to it. It's just frozen. They can't just automatically take the lump sum.
Okay, I got you. So
the attorney has to negotiate a certain amount for you.
Okay.
So once that attorney does that, then they'll unfreeze your account. And that's only done to a lawyer.
Well, great stuff, Moses. Man, I appreciate you. I hope he's still listening. So,
yeah, if
he's,
I hope so, too.
Yeah, I hope he's still listening.
I've been on the line for a while. Like,
yeah. hopefully he's still listening, or he goes back and podcasts what he missed, and which a lot of people do, and will hear it. But, yeah, that's great to know. I appreciate it. I'm glad you called, because there's nothing like hearing it from somebody that's maybe been through it, and you get it and understand, you know, what that's all about. And the other thing is, every state is different, you know. So,
right.
But
I'm from Texas, and the Attorney General's office, they can do that.
Yeah.
You got money in the bank, and you owe arrears. Yeah, they can freeze your account.
How about it?
And it's just frozen, but you have to get an attorney to negotiate for you.
Right. Right.
I mean, it's obvious you got expenses, you got living expenses.
Right. Right.
And if they take the whole thing from you, that's wrong.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and he made it sound like they took the whole thing. They didn't freeze it, but I'm not sure. But that's good. Oh, is that what? Okay, frozen, yeah. Well, so he's got to get an attorney. I hope he's still listening, Moses. Man, I appreciate it, because you're being edifying to probably a lot of other people as well, so we appreciate it. Thank you for that. Good stuff.
Thank you. Thank you, Dan. I appreciate your show, man. Keep doing what you do.
I'm going to do it. God willing, as long as they can still prop me up in front of a microphone, I'm going to keep doing it. All right. Thank you, Moses. God bless. Good stuff. Let me go to Marcus. Marcus calling us from Texas. Hey, Marcus.
Hey, how are you doing, Dan? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, I have a decent pension. And I have an IRA and a 457 and all that. And I'm thinking about starting to take income from those. But what I wanted to try to do was take income in such a way that I could preserve my principal and just take it through dividend-paying stocks and preferred stocks.
Right.
And I wondered, like, do you have any kind of I tried to do research and find certain funds, but I haven't been able to find any kind of fund or portfolio that emphasizes that.
Yeah.
So, Warner, do you have any information on anything like that?
Well, yeah, I actually have an income portfolio for people just like you. And on my list of stocks, so my income asset allocation model, everything is highlighted, all the pieces of pie of all the different sectors are highlighted in a different, the pieces of pie are all a different shade of blue. And the reason why I do that is because I've highlighted on my stock list in blue income stocks that would be good for an income portfolio. And then a person can look at that particular stock without searching the whole list. They're seeing they're highlighted in blue. And the ones that are highlighted in blue are designated stocks for people looking to produce or create an income portfolio. And, you know, the goal there is obviously to do what you just said, to have what you have in there, but without affecting the principal. So there's still volatility, and you need to understand, no matter what you do or how you do it or where you go to do it, there's still going to be volatility in the principal, in the sense that the value could go down, the value could go up, and it will do both of those things through the course of time. But in that course of time, in 10 years, I would submit to you that you're going to have more money than you started with, and your income won't be volatile. So the income's not going to go down when the portfolio goes down, or, you know, your income's going to stay steady. So if you're truly an income investor, I try to teach people you shouldn't care about the value. If you're worried about the value and stressing over when it goes down, then you're really not an income investor, so you shouldn't be doing it. you should be doing growth. Because in the long run, you're going to be fine, but your main goal is to receive the income. And in the long term, you're going to get growth.
Right. That sounds really exactly what I'm looking for. Yeah.
That's what everybody should be doing. As far as I'm concerned, everybody looking for income off their investments ought to have that exact mentality that you said when you went on here, that, you know, you want to preserve your principal, you know, and get some income. In other words, not dipping into the principal. And that is the way that you can get income without worrying about outliving your money. Because you're not dipping into the principal, so that's exactly the mentality you have to have. So, I'm not trying to sound self-serving, like you got to partner with us to get. I'm not trying to do that, and I apologize if there's other ways you can do it, and there's other people out there that I'm sure can help you. I'm just telling you what we have on our website.
Oh, that's awesome! No, I appreciate it. What kind of returns do you
I tend to be very conservative. So I'm looking at good, solid positions that I'm recommending. And obviously, you might already know this, the more credit worthy, the more financial strength a company has, the less dividend they pay. They don't have to pay it because people want them anyway because they're good, solid companies. They're not in a position where they're trying to attract people to buy their stock. So they tend to pay lower dividends because they can get away with it. But they also tend to be strong companies and consistent dividend payers. Look, I got some that are paying 8%, 9%. A real estate investment trust or some preferreds and utility stocks. But they're only one position maybe in a lot. I want people to be very diversified and have a lot of diversification. But I don't think there's any reason why you shouldn't be able to easily average 5.5% and maybe, get it up higher to in the sixes.
That's okay. That sounds very good.
All right. Good.
All right.
Thank you, Marcus. I appreciate the call. Good stuff. Thank you. You're on the right track.
Thanks, sir.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, you're welcome. 844-707-5533 if you want to queue your call. We've got lines open. We're going to continue. Rapid fire.
Attention. If you're struggling with $10,000 or more in credit card debt, personal loans, collection accounts, or medical bills, it could take you decades to pay them off. Call National Debt Relief right now to see if you qualify for the Debt Reset Program. You could pay only a fraction of what you owe while you become debt-free in just 24 to 48 months. National Debt Relief is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau. There are no upfront costs, and you could resolve your debt for a fraction of what you owe. Call 1-800-958-9891.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia, 844-707-5533. We're going to get to your calls. It's Rapid Fire Friday. We're going to stay with calls for another hour and a half. We've got markets. Well, they're setting new highs for the session, highs for the day. They're setting new highs. We've got the Dow up now 0.5%. That's very good news. Dow's, the Nasdaq's up 0.5%. That's interesting because many were talking before the market opened that the Nasdaq was going to be down. Technologies were struggling a little bit, but they're up 0.5%. The S&P is up about a third right now. So existing home sales fell for the third straight month in a row, hit a three-year low. They're recirculating that news. That was out actually yesterday, but apparently since it was due out today, and it came out yesterday, but they're kind of recycling that news. The Fed is speaking to one of the Fed presidents speaking. So. Okay. Anyway.
I have a little bit of news, Dan, actually, from just recently about the House just recently introduced a declaration to President Trump.
Okay.
Concerning the fund for the wall. Essentially what it is, they're trying to shut down his national emergency. And it's expected for him to actually veto that, and then it would have to go back to the House for a two-thirds majority to override that. So as of right now, it's just being introduced. Trump will likely veto it, and then we'll see where it goes from there.
So they're voting on it today, I guess, or introducing it today?
I believe they're introducing it today, yeah.
Okay.
I don't believe they voted on it yet.
Wow. Thanks, Ian. I mean, you know, I appreciate that. That's that bill. So they're trying. It's funny because, you know, they believe that this is not constitutional. And it clearly is constitutional. And I guess I've got to wonder why they didn't believe that the 13 state of emergencies that President Obama declared, I wonder why they were constitutional. Huh. I wonder what that could have been about. The only thing that they can stop is the only thing that the state of emergency allows President Trump to do is to snatch the 2.4 or 3.2, I forget, billion dollars out of the construction fund for the military. So, which, by the way, doesn't have anything to do with military bases like the Democrats are talking about. The only thing it does, most of that money gets used on the border. So if they were to go ahead and invoke this measure, and for some weird reason, President Trump didn't veto it, or they had enough votes to override the veto, which I don't imagine they would have. But if they did, then they take that money away. That's the only money they can take away. He's still going to get another $3 billion that he needs. So that's going to take him, I'm going to say, another 150 miles of the wall. To get the other 150 that he's planning on doing, he's going to have to get the money somewhere else, and there's plenty of money out there that he can grab. So it's really just a show and a waste of time. All right, let me go back to phones. Thanks, Ian. Let me go back to phones and go to Gary. Gary calling us from Tennessee. Hey, Gary.
Morning, Dan.
Morning.
Say, I just turned 71. I recently became a partner and recently opened an E-Trade. I worked for the, been receiving Social Security. I got on when I was 62, took the lower amount. And my other income is a part-time salary as a lay minister at my current church. And I had some money. I was working for a county school system here in Tennessee, but I didn't work long enough to get vested in the retirement plan. I checked the amount of money I had in there yesterday, and it's earning 5%, but I have a 7-year window to collect that 5%. I was wondering if I should take that and put it someplace else or just leave it there for the time being and maybe a year before it ends.
When does it end, Gary?
Well, I've been in it. I've been retired, resigned from that position since January of 18, so it's been 1 year.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I've got about 6 years left.
Yeah, paying it out?
Well, I didn't ask that particular question. I should have. It stops earning the 5% at that point.
Okay.
From what I understand from the lady I was talking with.
Yeah, I would not touch it. You know, the principal's being preserved. You're getting 5%, which you're not going to get that anywhere in any other investment without volatility. I mean, you may find something, even if you went into a 5% preferred on my list or a utility company paying 4.5%, you're going to have to take a little bit of risk on that. And that might be okay for you to do it, because in the case of a utility stock paying 4.5%, In the next 6 years, you're likely to get some gain from that. So it might end up in the long run being a little bit better. But it really depends on, you know, if you are thinking, you know, I've got some income, I'm doing okay, and, you know, 5% is good, and I know that I'm going to earn that 5% plus get my money back, my principal, then I would stay where it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, you.
Dan, and the Lord bless your ministry.
Thank you, Gary. I appreciate that. God bless. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Jackson calling us from Ohio. Hey, Jackson.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
Jackson. Hey, I have a, I'm 67 years old. I'll try to be 50. And I have a 457 that I want to roll over. I'm retired now.
Okay.
And I wanted to determine whether I should run that through a Roth IRA or into an investment account.
So,
and it's going to be about 5 years, 6 years before I would ever think about pulling from that money.
Now, I'm going to assume that if it's a, do you know if it was a pre-tax contribution?
Yes.
It was.
It's qualified money.
So you would have to pay tax on that if you put it in a Roth or put it in an investment account. Are you okay with that?
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Yeah, yes, sir, I am okay with that.
Okay.
But I didn't know what would be the best way to do so.
Yeah.
If I should do either or.
And what other IRA accounts do you have? Any?
Well, I have another Roth.
You have another Roth?
And yes, sir. So this would be something that is qualified money that I want to make unqualified because I'm a little nervous about the political situation and the qualified money I might have, but I don't know if a Roth IRA would be any safer than a qualified
money. No, it wouldn't be from that perspective.
But I would gains, though, without...
Do you have an investment account?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I would put it over in the investment account. I mean, I would. I mean, you know, because if you put it in the Roth, you are going to, I know you say you've got at least 6 years or so before you need it, because you're going to, I think it's going to be subject to that 5-year window when you move it over there. So I, you know, you never know what could happen or what your needs might be. I mean, we think we know, but, you know, things happen and change. I would, and I think you ought to be building up an investment account. So I think this would be a good way to do it. I would do that.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Dan. I appreciate it. Listen to your program for 3 hours every day right after J. Vernon McGee.
Oh, get out, J. Vernon.
Absolutely.
Man. Yep, love J.
Take
Vernon
good
McGee.
Care. And enjoy your weekend.
I'll do
God
it.
God bless you, Dan. You do a great work.
Thank you, Ron. I appreciate Bye-bye. It. God bless. 844-7, I said Ron. Jeez. Jackson. I'm going to Ron. That's why I said it. Ron from Ohio. Hey, Ron.
Hey. Thanks, Dan, for letting me call. And
sure.
Appreciate what you do. We're a partner for, I don't know, 5 years, 10 years, I don't know.
Oh, well.
But I just am going to retire in about a month, a little over a month.
Okay.
And I'm 66, and, you know, I suppose going through the same thing everybody does that, you know, I don't know if it's going to be a financially feasible situation without taking some from somewhere, because we'll get about, I don't know, 30 grand or so from Social Security, and, you know, everything's paid off, and I have a 401k, and I've got a Scott's Trade account that I try to use to, I guess kind of work toward the asset allocation model, but I mean, there's not that much, but I've got, you know, International Paper and Dominion Electric and Marathon Oil, and I just wondered, I also have an annuity account that the cash basis for withdrawal is guaranteed to increase by 6% per year. Cash value of it doesn't do that great, but and I'm just wondering where would be the best place to consider having money taken out.
You already have the annuity?
So when the sun goes down, disc lights come up for 10 full hours and turn off automatically in daylight. And now you can get this set of four Bell & Howell disc lights for just $19.95. But wait, order today and we'll even ship it to you free. But there's more. Order today and you can get a second set of four disc lights. Just pay a separate fee. So don't delay. Order your Bell & Howell disc lights today. Call now.
Call 1-800-961-4557 or go to disclights.com. That number again is 1-800-961-4557 or order online at disclights.com.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
844-707-5533. I was talking to Ron from Ohio, and, you know, Ron was asking a question about, you know, what to do with some of his money now that he's retired. So I would just say to you, Ron, remember that the value on the annuity, you said the cash value is not doing that great, which would make sense. The other value that you're receiving that increases every year on the annuity part, if you annuitize, remember, that's really no value either unless you use it. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So if you now it might pay out, some of them pay out upon your death, but that's not going to help you pay your bills. You're not going to care about your bills. So you've got to think about what's going to help you today, you know, or when you need the money. So I would say that if you do the annuity and you keep the annuity or you put more into the annuity, then I would say have a plan to use some of that value that you're getting on that, whatever you said, 6% or whatever, that's right, adding up for the annuitization, for the income side of it. So have a plan to actually use it so that you get to take advantage of it,
rather than using the dividends from some of the preferreds.
Yeah, I mean, only because the dividends from the preferreds aren't going away. I mean, you can use them too, but there's no sense of urgency. In other words, if you don't use them, they're going to accumulate. You're getting them anyway. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
I like, when you retire, I want everybody to themselves any dividends and any income that's being produced off of anything they have. Now, you might say, well, yeah, but I'm pretty good right now. I don't need it. It's okay. I would want you to take it anyway. And now you're going to take it and put it in your savings. And then you got a problem 2 years from now because you say, well, I got too much of my savings. And then we, you know, you can talk about that and figure out where you want to put that. But I like taking the dividends. Once you take them, you have made money. You have monetized that. You have it in your savings account. You have it in your checking account. You can spend it if you want. You can go on a trip if you want. You can pay your electric bill with it if you want. You can do whatever you want. But you've taken it, and it gives you this sense of security when things come crashing down, which is going to happen at some point in time, even if it's 5 years from now. But when things come crashing down, it gives you this sense of security that, I don't know what my portfolio is doing, but I know this much. I'm making money. My money's working for me. Yeah, maybe down, but my money's working for me. I feel it. I see it. I use it. I save it. You know, you know it. And there's something to be said for that. It really helps the psyche in the bad times. And I like that because you're not as apt to panic and do something crazy like sell something or, you know, get totally out. And that's one of the reasons why I like doing it. But I think it's a good thing to do, to be retired and still being able to have some money that is accumulating somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
That's
going to be my next question, was about the dividends. And so you recommend,
I would take them.
You think you're savings is big enough, you could also put those into a Roth IRA or something like that.
Well, you can't put them in a Roth IRA because you don't have any earned income anymore.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. Yeah. But you can put them in an investment account. You can put them in a stock. You can put them in a mutual fund account. I mean, you can do a lot of things with them, or put them in your, back into your non-qualified investment account.
Okay, and I'm not being very rapid fire for Rapid Fire Friday, but you'd recommend that I start taking money from that annuity if I need additional income.
Yeah, only because
I understand the reason.
Yeah, you understand. I just want it to work for you. I don't want it to turn in to just a good death benefit. You know,
right.
I mean, I would rather that be working for you while you're living. And if it's more than you need, then go ahead and save it and leave it to your heirs. I'd rather it not be left in the account to be getting the fees attached to it every year and all that. I want to see you get the benefit of it.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it.
All right, Ron. Thank you, man. Okay. I appreciate your partnership all these years. Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you. Good stuff. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Elaine. Elaine's calling us from Florida. Hi, Elaine.
Hi. I love your show.
Thank you.
My son's 38. He has $10,000. He has a family. He does not have a Roth. He doesn't know what to do with this money. He doesn't need it right now. Should it be CDs and maybe open up a Roth?
I would like to see him open up a Roth.
Yeah.
And then try to encourage him to throw a little money at it every year, you know.
And where would you open it up?
Well, you know, he could open it up at an E-Trade. If he's committed to adding to it every month or every, you know, a number of times a year, if he's committed to that, then he could keep it simple and open it up at Timothy and use 4 or 5 of their funds, be a little aggressive, like use their emerging market fund and their Israel fund and their small cap fund and their large cap value fund. But I, you know, mix it up and be a little bit aggressive with that money, but only if he's going to contribute to it on a, you know, semi-regular basis. Doesn't have to be every month. But, you know, that would be a simple way of opening up the Roth and doing that, if you can encourage him to do that and contribute on a regular basis.
Okay, maybe like an Ameritrade or something?
Yeah, or a TD Ameritrade or a E-Trade or Fidelity or one of those. Yeah.
Okay, another quick question.
Sure.
I'm a widow, and I don't know if I should put my house in a trust. I live in New Jersey, and my house is probably worth $175.
Okay.
Because I've been told you have to pay capital gains on the profit of the house. So
no,
if I bought the house for $120.
No, you don't have to. You don't have to pay.
Yeah.
Oh wait, is it a house you're not living in?
No, I live in it.
Oh no, you don't have to pay anything. You don't have to pay any tax.
They told me that I talked to a lawyer there, and they said I would have. If my house was worth $125 when I bought it,
yeah,
and it's worth $175 when I die, you have to pay. My kids would have to pay capital gains on the profit of that house.
Oh, your kids?
Yeah,
I thought you meant you.
No,
your kids. Yeah, they would have to pay. They would have to pay tax because it is profitable there, so they would have to pay tax. I thought you meant you. Yeah, but the trust isn't going to help that. Trust doesn't help that.
No.
I mean, the trust is going to have to pay it. But at some point in time, you know, I mean, somebody's got to pay it, whether it's a trust or whether it's, you know, whether it's the kids getting it directly. I mean, if you want to totally avoid it and you're in good health, then you can retitle it and put it in your kids' name.
Right.
So, you know, and that way there is no inheritance.
But the problem is one of my kids isn't financially good. The other two are okay.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter has an illness where I don't know what might happen, or she has lupus, so I'm not sure if she would end up in a nursing home before me.
Okay.
So yeah. If I title it, they would take her portion if anything should happen, you know?
Yeah, well, then in that case, it would, you know, would have to be, you know, I mean, it's not much you can do. You could put it in an irrevocable trust, but I wouldn't recommend that. You're not going to sell it anytime in the near future yourself. You're going to live in it. You plan on living it for the rest of your life.
No, I don't know the way New Jersey's going. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a tough call. I mean, the ideal situation, I mean, if you said, you know what, I think I'm out of here in 5 years. If you said that, or, you know, I'm going to downsize or I'm going to move into a condominium or something like that, then on the other side of the river, I wouldn't do anything. I mean, I would, you know, I would keep it and not spend a lot of money trying to set it up so you don't have to spend a lot of money. I would hang on to it. If you say, you know, I might be here another 20 years, 30 years, then I would try to do something with it.
Okay, one thing. I have a free lawyer service through where my husband used to work.
Uh-huh.
So they would do it for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd want to move, so that's the easy part about it. You know?
Okay. That helps. That helps.
Yeah.
So if you don't have to pay for it, then I might be okay with you doing that because it can't hurt. Trust can never hurt you. Yep.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Elaine.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay,
thanks. All right, folks, we're coming up on the end of this hour. We've got another hour left, and we have lines open. So cue your call up right now while we're on this break. And as soon as I get off this break, I'm going to get to phones so we can continue on with our Rapid Fire Friday. 844-707.